Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Hey, I'm Dan Steep, and this episode is titled The Key to Receiving What You Want. The Key to Receiving What You Want. In other words, let me say that a little more boldly. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of Jesus himself. But the key to receiving what you want is this. Line up your wants with God's word and stand on it. Line up your wants with God's word and stand on it. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. What is that saying? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. That's telling us that when you line up your wants with God's word, when you delight yourself in the Lord and you stand on it, God is going to give you the desires of your heart because your wants line up with God's word. Now, remember I told you that Jesus said you can have whatever you say. Let me read a couple verses of scripture to you from Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Mark 11, verses 23 and 24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. There it is. You can have what you say. Now it goes on in verse 24 and says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. The New Living Translation says you must really believe it, and it will happen. And have no doubt in your heart. If you really believe it will happen. He who believes those things he says will have whatever he says. So, how does that work? Well, what you say is your faith speaking. Let me say that again. What you say, or the things that come out of your mouth, that is your faith speaking. And you will have what you say. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Oh, that you would choose life. You can have what you say, because what you say is your faith speaking. So, in other words, you will have what you say. If anti-faith, if unbelief and doubt comes out of your mouth, that's what you're going to have. So what you say is your faith speaking. And that's what Jesus is saying. You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. He's talking about the reality that what your mouth speaks comes from the faith in your heart. And it's the same faith that saved you. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace, get this now, you have been saved through faith. The same faith that saved you, that's the faith that Jesus is talking about. Your faith speaking. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's your faith, you will be saved. That same faith is the faith that saved you. So the bottom line is this. You get what you have faith for. And this is the key to receiving what you want. The key to having what you say is you get what you have faith for. I know people struggle with that, but Jesus, he said it a different way. He said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. This is in Matthew 9:29. These are two blind men that came to him to be healed. And he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. What does that mean? That means you get what you have faith for. The New Living Translation says he touched their eyes and he said, because of your faith, it will happen. So I don't know if you've really thought about this before, but even when you doubt, you're believing something. Even when you doubt, you're believing something. You're believing that the doctor's diagnosis is greater than God's power, ability, and desire to heal you. Even when you doubt, when you believe that your circumstances are never going to change, guess what? You get what you have faith for. You always get in life what you believe for. And you get what you say because what you say reveals what you believe. Now, there's a story in Numbers that kind of unfolds in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I call it a tale of two faiths. This is the story of the 12 spies that were sent out, 10 of whom believed an evil report of faith, and 2 of whom saw through the eyes of faith, Caleb and Joshua. Let me read just some of the verses here in chapter 13 that just lays out the story. This is in Numbers chapter 13. I'll read verses 17 and 18. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. Verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. They returned to Moses to give their report. Verses 27 and 28. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. In verses 30 to 32. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. He said, let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. So that's the story. Only 2 out of the 12 were men of faith and vision, and their names were Caleb and Joshua. Now, verse 32 says that the other 10, now the New Living says they brought a bad report, but the King James says they brought an evil report. an evil report. So what is an evil report? Well, contextually, in this story, an evil report is a report of doubt and unbelief. So if an evil report is a report of doubt and fear and unbelief, what is a good report? Well, conversely, a good report, contextually in this story, has to be a report of faith. And get this now. All 12 men got what they said, as well as their nation. 10 of them, they died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb did not. They got what they said. And their nation got what they said because the nation took the direction of the 10. So you have to be careful with the majority report, especially today. Especially today. The level of doubt and fear and unbelief in the body of Christ is at unprecedented levels. You have to be careful with the majority report. And you have to be careful with the majority report in the world. Because, with what I call the false prophets of Baal that are bantering about in the media, and with such things like AI now that literally make it so difficult to know what to believe and what's actually true. So you have to be very careful with the majority report. Because Bible Christians are first and foremost people of faith. I'm going to say it again. Bible Christians, Bible believing, following, walking Christians are first and foremost people of faith. That's why we call it the Christian faith. It's entered into by faith. It's walked through by faith. Right? The Apostle Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And everything in the kingdom of God moves by and operates by faith. God cares about your needs, but he's moved by your faith. Bible Christians are first of all, if nothing else, to be people of faith. Now you add to that faith discernment and wisdom, and you've really got something. So let's dive back into this story in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And I want to read to you from the 14th chapter, verses 6 through 9. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, they tore their clothing. Okay, so they weren't swayed. They didn't buy into the majority report. In fact, they filed a minority report, and here's how they did it. They tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us." I mean, just notice this, verse 8. There's two ways to read verse 8. Joshua and Caleb said, if the Lord is pleased with us, he'll bring us safely into that land and give it to us. Now, you think Joshua and Caleb had any doubt in their mind as to whether or not the Lord was pleased with them? Zero. They were so filled with faith. It dripped from them. It's implied that they weren't concerned at all. They knew that the Lord was pleased with them. But I know a lot of people that would read that verse and immediately, as soon as their eyes travel across those letters and those words, if the Lord is pleased with us, immediately they begin to wonder, doubt, is God pleased with me? I wonder if God's pleased with me. God, if he's not pleased with me, he won't do what his word says. So they like negate the faith of all of God's promises by a seed of doubt that creeps into their mind that says, I wonder if God's pleased with me. Because Caleb and Joshua said, if the Lord is pleased with us, well, what pleases God? Faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's the sole thing that God is looking for. Traversing the earth, looking for people of faith. And Joshua and Caleb, they had it in spades. They said, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. So how do you rebel against the Lord? Unbelief. Doubt. Fear. Jesus said in John 16:9 that the sin of the world is its unbelief. So don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. The New Living Translation, don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. What did Jesus say in Mark 11:23? You can have whatever you say. And that's the faith that operated in Joshua and Caleb. I have the opportunity to pray for people often in our ministry, sometimes one here and there, and sometimes hundreds and thousands of people at a time. And sometimes like hundreds of people, one by one, laying hands on. And I always, before praying for people, I try to get them to make some kind of confession of faith, some kind of activation of faith within them. I share some of the Word of God, and I try to get them to attach their faith to God's Word. Get them to just have some kind of confession of faith. Why? Because you can have whatever you say. It's the key to receiving what you want. You see, the giants didn't keep Israel out of the land. The giants didn't defeat them. They never went up and faced the giants. They defeated themselves by their own confession of unbelief. Let me say it again. The children of Israel, starting with those 10 spies who brought an evil report of unbelief, they defeated themselves by their own confession, their confession of unbelief. And it's the same with the giants of life. Most people defeat themselves. The giants don't defeat them. They defeat themselves by their own confession of unbelief. Joshua 14, continuing on from verse 9 and verse 10, but the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are. But this is where Moses pleaded with the Lord. The scripture says in verse 13, Moses objected. What will the Egyptians think when they hear about it? He asked the Lord. They know full well the power you displayed in rescuing your people from Egypt. Now if you destroy them, the Egyptians will send a report to the inhabitants of this land who have already heard that you live among your people. They know the Lord, that you have appeared to your people face to face and that your pillar of cloud hovers over them. They know how you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you slaughter all these people with a single blow, the nations that have heard your name will say, the Lord was not able to bring them into the land he swore to give them, so he killed them in the wilderness. Wow. only because of the intercession of Moses on behalf of Israel did God spare them and not wipe them off the face of the earth. You can have what you say. You can receive what you want. My declaration is like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And serving the Lord is not just praying and reading your Bible and going to church and paying your tithes. Serving the Lord by faith. Walking by faith and not by sight. Lining your words up with the word of God. We're people of faith. Hallelujah. You always get in life what you believe for and what you say. So make sure that what you say lines up with the word of God. May our prayer, your prayer and mine, be like the prayer of Mary's when she said to the angel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Hallelujah. That's it. That's the key to success in life. May it be unto me according to your word, O Lord. When you get that in your spirit, you begin to speak the word of God over your life, over your circumstances, and your circumstances line up with the word of God. And that's the key to receiving what you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God be praised. I'm just going to quote Jesus again, Mark 11:24. "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God's word says that you must be saved. Have you grabbed a hold of that word? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can be saved. You can have what God's word says that you can have. You only need to do these three things: recognize, repent, and receive. Recognize. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you understand that sin is not only an act that you commit, but a condition that you're born into in this world, you're able to acknowledge and recognize your sin. You see, my sin is what's killing me. And it's not just killing me, it's killing the people around me. And the only way to peace is through faith in Jesus Christ. Once you're willing to recognize that you've sinned, then you can repent. The word repent simply means to change your mind, change your direction, change your lifestyle. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." When you've come to the place where you're willing to recognize and acknowledge your sin and repent of that sin, turn from it, all that's left is to receive, to simply commit your heart to him by faith. Remember, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'd like to offer a simple prayer of salvation. And whether you need to turn to Jesus Christ for the very first time, or you need to return to him, rededicate your life to him, Or you may be one of those people that you go to church every Sunday, but you just struggle with the concept of assurance. In other words, you're just not sure that if you died today, you would spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. If you fit in any one of those three categories, pray this prayer together with me from a place of sincerity in your heart. Just say these words after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sins, and he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer together with me, welcome to the family of God. You are why Revival Now Ministries exists. You're a part of the 1 million souls that God told me to ask him for. Welcome to the family of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you prayed that prayer together with me, you called upon the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's holy word, I tell you today that you are saved. You're born again. Your sins are forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. And if you prayed that prayer together with me, please go to our website at revivalnow.com. Revivalnow.com. You'll find a big red button on the front page of our website that says, I just got saved. If you'll click that button, it'll give you the opportunity to view some video resources that I prepared for you to help you get started in your Christian life. And if you'll fill out your contact information, we're going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. And we're going to pray for you by name. So just go to revivalnow.com, click I just got saved, and follow the prompts from there. And thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I trust that it's been a blessing to you as it has been to me. Keep returning for more episodes as we continue to upload more solid teaching from God's Word. And do me a favor, share the broadcast, share the episode with your friends, and help me get the word out. And as always, you can always go to our website at revivalnow.com to find out anything you want to know about our ministry, social media offerings, all of those things. Just go to revivalnow.com, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed as you see how God is using us to reach 1 million souls for Christ in a 10-year window of time. So until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.